You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
If you're looking for your next new truck, trust Rush Truck Centers, the nation's largest commercial vehicle dealer network. Rush Truck Centers has trucks in stock throughout the country, including heavy, medium, and light-duty work vehicles. Plus, they offer a wide range of programs that help coordinate, monitor, and expedite vehicle service and repairs throughout their qualified service facilities. Check out their online inventory today at rushtruckcenters.com. That's rushtruckcenters.com. Expect more from Rush Truck Centers. Please speak to your Rush Truck Centers representative for further details.
Is your main event, Mark Podcast, brought to you by the Uncaged Sports Network and Belly Up Sports Network. I'm your first host, lifelong wrestling fan, former radio guy, and member of the Adams family, Troy. With me, as always, is the WCW Watcher of Classic Wrestling and the Main Event Collector. He's the Abdullah the Butcher to my Cactus Jack. Bang, bang. It's Greg. What's up, Greg?
I don't know. I respond to that.
I know. You hate Abdullah. Hey, you know what, man? For it, to say you hate Abdullah, it's like, take a number.
Screw you.
To anybody out there not familiar, I don't think a lot of people like Abdullah the Butcher, you know, in the ring or out of it.
He's kind of one hand of people that like him.
Yeah, right. Well, isn't it Billy Graham who said he wanted to give his Hall of Fame ring back when they inducted Abdullah?
Yep.
That was funny. Like, holy crap, man. And,
you can do roids, but you can't bleed.
Yeah, right. Hey, well, you can't bleed with, did he have AIDS or HIV?
I think he just had hepatitis.
Okay, yeah, so, yeah, I think he's got AIDS. Okay, yeah, so I think he's got Hep C or whatever, and supposedly he bled on people, you know, while he had Hep C, and, yeah, that was one guy's story. They had, like, a documentary about it where he said, he had to stop wrestling because he wrestled once with Abdullah and got bled on and got Hep C.
That's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, that's, wow. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know how to go from that to this, but I mean, it's all depressing. We're talking about Halloween Havoc 1991 today. This was during
There might have been a match in here that was somewhat watchable, maybe.
Oh, yeah. And we'll get to all that, you know, here, on the show. It's a weird lineup that I'm actually anxious to talk about, because it's, some of it's funny, some of it's like, what the hell is this? I don't know. It runs the gambit of weird WCW crap. And this was smack
What's
dab.
That saying?
Well, this was smack dab in the middle of the Jim Herd era. So I think the Jim Herd era wound down in 92, if I remember correctly, because I think he either stepped down or was fired or whatever.
We demand the ding dongs.
Right. Well, it was after Flair left to go to WWF. I think he was gone by the end of 92. So that was one of the reasons.
Bill Watts came in, I assume?
I can't remember the lineage. Yeah, that had to have been. Well, I think it was Kip Fry and then Bill Watts. So, you know, we all remember the awesome Kip Fry era. Not.
That's probably the least crap, but I don't know what the hell that's saying.
Yeah, you go from somebody who knows nothing about wrestling to somebody who knows even less about wrestling to a raging racist who's stuck in the 70s.
He's not a racist. He hired a Junkyard Dog.
Oh, yeah. Well, that erases it all.
Good Lord. And he's a homophobe. I forgot to mention that as well. Whatever. But, yeah.
Wow, this is shocking.
Yeah, right. Halloween Havoc 1991, man. This is the third annual Halloween Havoc. We'll get into it.
Woke up in a cold sweat.
Yeah, right. We got to tell that story when we get to the match, man. We just, if people have not seen the Legends Roundtable, I think, aren't they all on Peacock now?
I don't think any of those are on Peacock. I don't think any of them are on the network, honestly.
I could have swore I was scrolling through and I'm like, holy crap, these are, I know
maybe they are
of them,
now, but I feel like they were not on the network, on the original network.
That one I can't tell you for sure. I know I was scrolling through and I was like, wow, because I saw, I'm assuming they're all on there. If one is on, I'm sure they all are. But there was a Legends Roundtable with, or whatever the hell they called it, with Dusty Rhodes on it, and they brought up this match, and, Greg and I have never let it die.
Cold sweat.
Yeah.
That's all we'll say.
Right. But we'll get into it here in just a moment. Did want to let you know, we have a merch store on Redbubble, we'll talk about in the break, and we have a special Breast Cancer Awareness Month t-shirt on there where the logo is in pink, and it's got the pink support ribbon on there, so go check that out. Also, I want to let you know that the Main Event Marks is sponsored by Fanatics. Get your officially licensed sports gear today. The link is down in the podcast description. You'll hear more about Fanatics coming up in our breaks. Also, we want to let you know about our sponsorship with Swift Lifestyles. They are clean energy drinks and focus enhancers, great tasting vitamins, and big brain nootropics that are made and shipped from the USA. Go to SwiftLifestyles.com and use our special promo code MainEventMarks, it's all one word, for 15% off your order. Also, if you're listening on the podcast feed, thank you. Please subscribe and leave a review. Spread the word about your favorite retro wrestling podcast and bring in, all your friends and family and family's friends and friends' family. And also, we play live. I don't know if you know about this. We play live on Unhinged Radio every Wednesday is a brand new episode at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on unhingedsn.airtime.pro. We have an immediate replay on Wednesday at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. We also have replays on Thursdays, Fridays, and Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That is unhingedsn.airtime.pro, live, free radio, internet radio, with tons and tons of sports. You're going to want to check it out. We are, the Unhinged Network is officially 1 year old, so check it out. Free online sports radio. That is unhingedsn.airtime.pro. Now that all that is taken care of, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive into all the spooky news and notes of the time, October 91. We'll be right back.
Follow the Main Event Marks on Twitter and Instagram at @MainEvent_Marks and on Facebook at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod.
Get all the best podcast swag from the Main Event Marks. Our merch shop offers custom graphics, including the podcast logo, on hats, shirts, masks, greeting cards, and more. There are tons of new designs with more dropping all the time. Just head on over to redbubble.com/people/MainEventMarks to grab your podcast merch today and become an official Main Event Mark. That's redbubble.com/people/MainEventMarks.
This holiday, whether you're making a Baker's Simple Truth turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for 2, Baker's has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Baker's, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Choose from a great selection of digital coupons and use them up to 5 times in one transaction. Check our app for details. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube at youtube.com/C/MainEventMarksPodcast. Now, back to the show.
And we are back.
Yeah, we're back.
Before we get into all the news and notes, I want to let you know that Yeats aims to provide the most unique and high-quality sunglasses on the market at an unbeatable price. They're built from the latest manufacturing techniques. Yeats shades are made for comfort, durability, and big Yeet moments. And on top of that, a percentage of all the profits go towards beach cleanups and other community outreach programs. No matter your style, their shades are here to help you chase your vision. Go to yeetsofficial.com and use that promo code BELLYUPPOD to save 10% at checkout. That's Yeets Official, YEETZOfficial.com, and put in that promo code BELLYUPPOD, that's BELLYUPPOD, to save yourself 10% at checkout, baby. Time to dive into the news and notes here. First off, WWF snuck in the first Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair match at a TV taping in Dayton, Ohio, on October 22nd.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
But, yeah, that was on October 22nd. The dark main event was supposed to actually be Flair versus Roddy Piper, but Hogan and Flair were talking about their upcoming series during a show and decided that they wanted to go out there and give it a go before debuting the match in Oakland, California.
Oakland.
Yeah. It was basically a nothing match with a burned out crowd, just so that they could get a feel for working together. Yeah, I'm going to assume Hogan went over, but you never know.
I think it was by count out, too.
Yeah. I don't go over the Dark
cam.
Brother.
There's actually fan cam footage on YouTube, I believe.
I've seen that. I don't know if it was that match or this one I'm about to talk about, because they said the first quote unquote real match between Hogan and Flair actually took place on October 25th in Oakland, California, and drew almost 15,000 people to the building, the most in several years. It wasn't a classic, but it was the best thing on the show by far, and everyone was happy with it. Although Hogan was the clear favorite, Flair had about 30% support. They did the match that we all know these days, where it was Flair seemingly knocking out Hogan with a foreign object to win the title at 11:35, only to have Dave Hebner run out and reverse the decision. Fans in the building completely bought the fake title change, however. Okay, a couple things. First of all, what was the building in Oakland in like 91? Do you even remember?
It's still the same one. It's Oracle.
Oh,
I don't know what it's called now, but
did they renovate it?
Oh yeah, they renovated it several times. It's not bad. The Warriors just wanted a new stadium. All right, they're going to be moving a WNBA team in there apparently.
Oh wow. Well, I'm sure you're going to be a frequent attendee to those games.
Sure.
Yeah. So 15,000. I mean, is that a good crowd for the?
Yeah. Oh hell yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially with it being non-televised or whatever. I mean, I don't know how much that mattered back in 91, but yeah, that's pretty cool, though.
I was sure to win to that.
Yeah, I'm sure. You were fairly young at the time, weren't you?
Seven.
Yeah, so I assume your family didn't attend a lot of like live shows back in the day.
No, I didn't. My first one was until 1996, 7? 97.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of like me. I literally never went to a wrestling show until I was, I want to say, 18, maybe 20, something like that. But Ricky Steamboat, unsurprisingly, has either quit or was fired from the WWF, depending on who's telling the story. He gave notice on
October. Like that.
Yeah, right. He gave notice on October 16th because he wasn't happy and was supposed to have a big push that didn't materialize. Steamboat was only making about $52,000 per year, which wasn't particularly beneficial for his financial well-being. At 52 grand, what? How's he supposed to eat and feed his family?
52 grand in 1991 was like a lot of money, dude.
I know, right? That's freaking nuts.
It wasn't the NWA money, apparently.
I can't remember who it was we were talking about, and I threw out a number like that. Oh, it was me, Gene, where he was making like over 100, it was like 120 grand a year, and he wanted a pay raise. And you were like, man, you know, a man's got to eat.
He does, man.
So anyway.
Really covered the bills, man.
Right. On the latest TV taping, the agents asked him to do a squash job, rather, for both The Undertaker and the IRS, or I know you laugh every time I call him the IRS. Just IRS.
He is the IRS.
Right.
Foreclosed on your house and all that stuff.
Wow. But since he had given his notice already, they wanted him to do that. Steamboat decided this wasn't a smart move for him, however, and he just walked out. Vince McMahon was supposedly so pissed that he didn't even buy a plane ticket back home for Ricky. I mean, the guy just kind of walked out on the show. I mean, if a guy just kind of walked out on my show, yeah.
Should he be rewarded for quitting? Or?
I know. It's like, you know, I quit. You can find your way home.
Go home. The nerve of these people.
I know. Screw them. How dare you? Whatever. The WWF shot an angle with Randy Savage and Jake Roberts at the Fort Wayne tapings, where Jake goaded Randy into leaving his announcing job to defend Elizabeth's honor, and Jake laid him out and tied him into the ropes so that a snake could bite his arm. This got over huge with the live crowd, although some of the kids in the audience were pretty upset by it. I'm sure you were pretty upset by it.
I don't remember my reaction, honestly. I remember seeing it. I remember my reaction, though.
Being 7 years old and as into wrestling as you were, you're probably pretty upset at that point. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I know as a kid. I mean,
disgusting, so.
Yeah. I mean, in retrospect, I saw it, like, as a kid, like, years later, and even I was like, what the hell did they do to Macho Man?
It wasn't just a snake, either. It was a cobra. Let's make that clear.
I know. Allegedly, the tale went, I think Bruce Pritchard might have told this story, where Macho, you know, because Jake had it in the back with him, and he's like, oh, it's okay, he's been he's had his fangs taken out and he's been devenomized and all that stuff, and Macho's like, oh, if you're so confident, have him bite your foot first. And supposedly Jake took his boot off and had to let the snake bite his foot.
Wow.
Yeah. Which I wonder if that caused problems later on, because supposedly, even without the fangs and even without the venom, Macho's arm still kind of bruised and swelled up a little bit. So I don't know. But
I don't think I'd ever do that.
Hell no. I don't like snakes. So that's yuck. But the WWF. Wow. The WWF tried to turn Sergeant Slaughter again and failed, because he and Jim Duggan recited the Pledge of Allegiance as their big babyface spot, and the crowd booed the crap out of it. Wow.
Where were they?
I don't know. It didn't say where they were when they were trying to do it, but this is 91. Sergeant Slaughter a heel right before this?
He's trying to remember. He wants his country back, so he's turning her face.
Yeah. Wow.
If you're trying to get America to love you, I saw Jim Duggan's the way, man.
Yeah, right. Well, when you say I want my country back, all I can think of is, I think it was the latest season of South Park where Mr. Garrison was singing it. Ugh, man. Here we go, man. Barry Darso debuted the new Repo Man gimmick. And
hell yes!
And he got no reaction. I wonder why. You go from Demolition Smash to this. Like, what the hell? Well, and then he goes to WCW and he's hole-in-one Barry Darso.
Yeah. Every and single then, week, he was 5 minutes away from getting his PGA card or something like that. And
what the hell? And then he becomes the Blacktop Bully, and he's a truck driver. Whatever. He had like the worst gimmicks. Like,
so they sent him to WCW and he became just the average white guy, either, you know, the hardcore white guy that repos your car, or the country club white guy that plays golf. Oh, okay.
Or a hardcore white guy that drives truck. One of them. Ugh. Harvey Whippleman has taken over the bulk of Slick's managerial duties now that he's gone.
Yeah, that's a hell of a trade.
Yeah, right. You lose Slick and you get Harvey Whippleman.
Dr. Harvey Whippleman.
Right, yeah.
So does that mean Slick was going to manage Sid then?
I don't know. Maybe that one was a just like, maybe they just combined. I don't know.
I didn't know at some point Slick would be back because he would be managing Kamala.
Yeah, that's. Well, he managed the, you know,
actually,
the real African.
Back, actually, he came back as the Reverend Slick. So you throw a Reverend on a guy's name, he's instantly a babyface, you know, because that's how it went.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, he went, you know, he managed the real African and the fake African.
Good Lord.
Well, and which was which, you know, was Akeem the real one and
well, Akeem was the African dream, so...
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what all Africa, that's what all of Africa aspires to be, is Akeem.
500-pound white guy.
That shucks and jives. I gotta ask, do you think that was a rib on Dusty?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. The white guy doing the jive so bro thing, shucking and jiving. The African dream instead of the American dream. Like, I don't know. They should have kept him one man gang. That's all I know.
Could they not trademark it or something?
No, they had it. It just, I think he owned it because he was the one man gang.
He's used it in multiple places, so yeah, I assume.
Yeah, right. And he still uses it.
I do. They're just, if anyone, no one's ever seen it, they should look on YouTube the how Akeem comes to life.
Oh, my gosh.
There's some ceremony, and there's African dancers and stuff. And,
in the ghetto, by the way, around like a burning barrel.
And then Mean Gene mentions his name. Oh, you're one man gang. I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear that name anymore, something like that.
And they've got a boombox with them.
Yep.
Like, son of a... By the way, I've recently found out, if anybody out there is too young to know what a boombox is, Google it. The Rockers did a couple of squash matches, and Shawn Michaels is teasing a heel turn on Marty sometime soon.
It happens.
Yeah. When was it the end of this year that he turns?
Yes, because the first time I saw him as singles and a heel was in the Royal Rumble, so it's coming up pretty quickly.
Yeah, because
Barbershop window's about to happen, and then there you go.
Right. Yeah, because now in the archives, WrestleMania 8 from 1992, he is the Heartbreak Kid there. So here's one I didn't
think
know.
So. Not yet. He's not Heartbreak Kid, so Mr. Perfect's on commentary.
Well, I he's doing the Heartbreak Kid gimmick in 92.
I mean, it's not his name is what I mean.
No, well, I don't know. He's got Sherry with him and doing all that stuff. So, but here's one I didn't know about. I mean, I didn't really keep up with the box office, whatever, but Suburban Commando has already been dropped from theaters and is labeled a major flop. In fact, Disney no longer has interest in being in the Hulk Hogan business as a result.
How did that movie flop?
That's honestly, like, I get it, it's cheesy and whatever, but honestly, it's my favorite Hulk Hogan movie of all time.
It's got the Undertaker in it, dude.
Yeah. I actually kind of dug this movie. Had Christopher Lloyd in it. Good stuff.
Had olive oil in it.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Wow. Here's funny looking back at 91. Newcomers Lance Storm and Chris Jericho worked recently for FMW shows in the opening matches.
Oh, God. Speaking of Dark Side, that one sucked.
Yeah. Well, what was weird was they must not have done too many openers because Chris Jericho said he was in a few main events over there.
Pretty Blonde Canadian main event.
Yeah, right. And did you see he had like just a ton of eyeliner on? Like, okay. Yeah, if anybody has not seen the FMW episode of Dark Side of the Ring, you should definitely go and check that out.
Before you watch it, don't watch it.
I actually thought it was fairly interesting. What blew my mind is the crap they did after Onita left the company.
Jim, I like how they try to go legit for a minute.
Yeah, and then they started peeing on each other in the ring. They lit off fireworks out of some dude's ass when he was tied up in the corner.
So they turned into an episode of Jackass, is what you're saying.
Yeah, some dude was like eating ravioli in the ring for no reason. Then they did like dance routines. Like, well,
Bastion Booger made $1 billion doing that. So,
yeah, right. Jim Cornette did bring up, he was like, you remember Onita said he was making like $2 million a year or something like that. And he was like, and mysteriously he decides to just completely, give the company away and leave the business forever. Like, something doesn't seem quite, up to snuff about that. Like, I think he knew something.
All I'm saying is, he knew something. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Speaking of Dark Side of the Ring, Herb Abrams is offering a real life. He's offering a real life prize of $100,000 for anyone who can beat Dr. Death Steve Williams. Dr. D. David Schultz is said to be interested in trying to collect, provided it was a shoot. An effing shoot, bro.
Why is this a thing? Like, people thought this guy was legit tough, and like, I mean, the Brawl for All is clearly that too.
Yeah. I mean, he was, but like, I honestly...
Really? Was he? Because I doubt it.
Well, especially back in his prime, like, or during this time period, he was in much better shape than during the Brawl for All, but... And he did knock some fools out during the Brawl for All, but...
I think he beat one guy.
Yeah. Well, I am, out of a perverse pleasure, I just, like, or curiosity, whatever, I just kind of want to see Dr. Death and Dr. D beating the dog crap out of each other, like, as a shoot. I just want to see how it went.
Sick mind, dude.
Dude, I don't know. Bro, as a pure television viewer, I'm entertained by this, bro.
Bro, I want to see John Stossel cover it, bro.
Holy crap. Then he'd get the crap smacked out of him by both of them. But $100,000? Like, what the hell, man? Where the hell is Herb Abrams coming up with $100,000?
Is he like a Texas fan or something and he just hates Sooners or what?
I don't know, man. I know he loved, Dr. Death because he kept him around the whole time. The thing about the Herb Abrams, everybody needs to go back and watch the Herb Abrams and UWF episode of Dark Side of the Ring as well.
And there's also an episode in the archives, by the way, if you want to listen to that.
Yes, yeah, go check that out. You remember where he got all hyped up on the mic one time and just yelled out, "Let's hear it for the Jews!"
Yes.
Like, what the hell? And he could get away with it because he was a Jew, but like, what the hell, man?
I couldn't figure out the context of that, though.
There was none. I guarantee he was freaking fried. That's all I could think.
I don't think Tony Khan does drugs. I'm trying to figure out his excuse for being the same way.
Wow.
He's nuts.
Hey, Tony Khan at least doesn't yell out weird crap like that. So, I mean, yeah, he says some dumb stuff, but...
Yes, he does.
Like what?
There's a thing on YouTube when he was talking about the cage match that they're going to set up at the last pay-per-view. Everyone should go watch it. He gets, like, really worked up, and you know what? No one's going to interfere in this. Have a good day, everybody. The hell did I just hear? It was the most bipolar thing ever. I encourage you to listen to when we're done with this. Go listen to it. He goes from, like, hardcore, I hate the Bucks and the Elite interfering and all that, within, like, half a second to, I hope everyone's enjoying the show. What the hell did I just hear?
Yeah, that man needs to never be on camera.
He's close to Herb Abrams more than you want to admit it, but whatever.
Yeah, well, hey, I never said he should be speaking on a microphone or on camera at all. But I will admit I did laugh at a few of his Impact commercials, but like it wasn't I was laughing with him. I was laughing at him.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they were really horrific, but yeah, still at least I mean, I don't know what his excuse is, but we know he's not on drugs like Abrams was.
Right. Okay. That's good content, buddy.
Fine, man.
Yeah, right. I said instead of "that's good crap, pal," then his thing is "that's good content, buddy." And he says it just like that, too.
That's his word, too, is buddy.
Yep. I hate when people overuse that word because it makes me feel like they're condescending me. It's like, don't call me buddy.
It's your buddy, pal.
I'm not your pal, guy. The quest for Flair's belt continues as a court date is scheduled for November 7th. although Ric Flair's attorneys are still offering to sell for $50,000, or excuse me, $50,200. Got to get it exact. So you mean to tell me this belt costs over 50 grand?
I wouldn't buy that.
Really? I think it's made of solid gold.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I mean, if it was solid gold, I get that. I mean, whatever Ric Flair could have possibly done with it behind the scenes probably devalued it a little bit, but, you know, whatever. You know, cleaning costs.
Or value, or up the value. It depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah, right. Hey, he's walking through hallways wearing nothing but his robe and that belt, all right?
And a smile.
Yeah, right. Oh, good Lord. Somebody pointed out, though, they're like, so this is the intelligence of, you know, the Turner legal team at this point. They're willing to spend all this money in legal fees rather than just pay him 50 grand to get the damn thing back. Like,
it's about
whatever.
Principle.
Yeah, right. No, F you and that belt. You know, to quote, supposedly, to quote Jim Herd. Ugh.
F you and that belt. I'm going to get me some Pizza Hut.
Wow. Yeah, and apparently, what the hell did it? Ross said he drank a lot of gin. That was it. He said his quote, every time they went to the bar, he's like, it takes a lot of gin to get this motor running. Like, what the hell does that even mean?
Wow. Was he a Snoop Dogg fan, too?
I don't know. Clash of the Champions 17 was made official for November 19th with the main event of the Enforcers versus Barry Windham and Ron Simmons and a bunch of other BS. That card ended up going through some drastic changes.
A bunch of other BS because other BS would make that match BS, and I think that sounds like a good match.
Yeah, that does sound good. But I guess the other stuff on the card looked pretty bad once it, because this
was I guarantee you the Z-Man was on the card, so I mean, how bad could it have been?
Oh yeah, man, when you book you know, freaking the Z-Man, the hell was his Tom Zank, when you book Tom Zank, man, that's all you need to put asses in seats,
as long as he's facing Johnny B. Badd in the opener.
Yeah, right. But the card ended up going through some drastic changes after Halloween Havoc for the better, and was supposedly a hell of a show. Dusty Rhodes and Ricky Steamboat actually took on the Enforcers.
Might have to go back and watch that.
Yeah. Dusty Rhodes and Ricky Steamboat actually took on the Enforcers for the World Tag Team titles. Flyin' Brian took on Johnny B. Badd for the light heavyweight title. Sting defended his U.S. title against Rick Rude, and Lex Luger took on Rick Steiner in the main event.
That's an odd main event, but okay.
Yeah, right. All in all, that card does sound pretty decent, actually. I'm kind of curious now.
I always liked how Clash of the Champions always like had tag team guys doing a singles match. I think there was one where Hawk wrestled Flair. I know there's one where Scott Steiner wrestled Flair. So it was like their testing grounds to.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I want to say they had Bobby Eaton doing singles stuff when he was still part of the Midnight Express.
Oh, well,
Express,
I mean, he did anyways, though, I think. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because, like, a lot of the tag teams, you know, no disrespect, but you could look at the Midnight Express and tell Bobby was the one. Some of them you can guess, like, maybe this guy. It was always going to be Bobby Eaton. We all knew that.
I will say that gap closed a little bit once they got rid of Condry and got Stan Lane, but Bobby was still better.
That's still my Midnight Express. Whenever I talk about them, that's the duo I refer to. That's what I know.
Yeah. The stuff with the original Midnight Express was like, I mean, it's still out there. You can still see some of it. It's just, you know, pretty far back. Whereas when Sweet Stan joined the team, they were already in Crockett. They were on national television. So. And, man, Stan Lane was really the tag team guy, too, because he went from the Fabulous Ones to that.
Yep.
WCW made an offer to Minnesota Twins first baseman Kent Herbeck. I don't know how to pronounce that name. It's
Kent Brockman, Nightly News, Springfield.
Wow. But the name is spelled H-R-B-E-K. Herbeck? I don't know.
It's probably Rebek, but you can't pronounce the H shot.
Yeah, it might be it. but it's basically a publicity stunt after Kent got a bunch of press for essentially using a single leg takedown on a guy while tagging him at first base.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Might as well just freaking kill the guy, why don't you?
I'm trying to figure out how that even happened.
Yeah. It's like, did you freaking dive at him and catch his freaking leg or something? Like, pull his ass back? I don't know. That's weird. Yeah, that's when baseball players were men, damn it. Anyway, that's always the thing people throw out. Oh, people, you know, the athletes got too soft now. You know, it was tough back in my day.
Back in my day.
This one is going to annoy both you and I, because I have the exact quote from Uncle Dave in here. Brad Armstrong debuted as Arachnoman from Web City. That first part, I'm going to let that hang for a sec, because...
Poor guy, man. Yeah,
I know.
He died, never got to avenge that.
I know. He was Arachnoman, the goddamn Candyman, with Fantasia, who became Bad Street, and then
clearly he upgraded, you know, with Bad Street.
Yeah, right. As we mentioned, that outfit was ridiculous. And I'm sure I'm leaving some other stuff out, but he was also himself, and he was, what was it? Buzzkill. That was the last one.
Yeah.
Yikes.
B-U-double-Z.
Yeah. Uncle Dave claims that he was, quote, wearing a blue and yellow Spider-Man outfit, which was true, that won't make DC Comics very happy. DC?
There's that.
Yeah. I'm sure you want to hit him now.
Oh, trust me. God's already hit him enough.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm going to leave that one alone because there's a lot of stuff I could say about that. But, yeah.
You know, going back to the baseball thing, it's hard to call him out compared to the big out God called on him. But I'm going to leave that alone.
What the hell? Back to Jim Herd here. Herd's new plan is to drop all color commentators and just have Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Eric Bischoff doing all the various syndicated shows solo. So Diamond Dallas Page is going to become a wrestler now. Quote, you read that right, notes Uncle Dave. Yeah, because...
So was he that saying that, like, condescending? Like, it's not good?
Yeah, saying it's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well... Let me check Wikipedia here. I look at DDP's resume. I wonder what he's done.
Yeah.
Idiot.
What did he ever do? They did point out, they're like...
My only argument about it is it happened way too late for him. But, I mean, that's just nitpicking. But
yeah, he was a fairly old rookie. I guess...
That was Batista.
Yeah, right. How did it work out for him? Last story I got here.
Something tells me he likes Batista, though. He's probably got a more Dave-style body.
I don't really know how he felt about Batista. That one, I have to go back and check out some of his notes. Something tells me he wouldn't like him, though, because he wouldn't fit in Japan, so. So. He wouldn't
I don't know why that took me a second to get.
He wouldn't get 5 stars in the Tokyo Dome, so.
You mean 7. He might get 5.
Yeah, right. This is the last story I have here. The Chamber of Horrors cage is just going to be a recycled Thunder cage from Halloween Havoc 89, now in the archives. Uncle Dave notes
actually said that when I first saw this, so I didn't know it was intentionally that. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Because there's no difference.
No. Except they took down all the decorations that were around the top of it. Probably for good reason, by the way.
Yeah. You want to mess this one up.
Yeah, right. Well, Uncle Dave notes that fans should be wary because they won't have the Great Muta or Tommy Young there to save them if it catches fire again. So they're liable to burn down half of Chattanooga.
Wow.
All right. That one's kind of funny.
Is there a thing there that I'm missing?
You don't remember in 89 that the cage caught on fire and Great Muta went up and blew his mist at it?
Is that the one where Sting was in it, too?
Yeah.
I do remember. Okay. I mean, I remember the match. I don't remember that specifically, though.
Yeah, it was Sting and Muta versus Flair and Sting, I think. And, yeah, because they had those, like, gargoyles and different things hanging in the corners, and they lit off a bunch of pyros.
That I remember. Forward. And wasn't there, like, tree branches and
yes.
leaves in there? Okay, yeah, okay.
Yep, and Muta literally climbed the cage and blew his mist at the fire to put it out. I was like, damn, that's cool. And then Tommy Young had to, like, stomp some of it out.
Because of that, you might think it was supposed to happen.
I know, right? It's like, all right, I mean, that's thinking on his feet for Muta. Got to give that to him. But anyway, that's all I got for this one. We're going to take our next break. When we come back, WCW Halloween Havoc 1991, right after this.
Follow the Main Event Marks on Twitter and Instagram at @MainEvent_Marks and on Facebook at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod.
This message is brought to you by Belly Up Sports.
No, just kidding. This is not an NWO promo. This is just me, Kyle Sullivan, a.k.a. Shaggy Von Doom, the host of Here in Puckburg on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. I have a hockey podcast where we talk about hockey fandom and the love of the game and where that leads you in this game we call life. Why am I on Main Event Marks telling you about this? Well, what if I told you I had one half of the world's greatest tag team, otherwise known as the Main Event Marks, the one and only Greg, Superfly Greg. He was on, and he was talking about his love of the game. So you might want to come over and check that episode out. And if you like what you hear, you can check out the rest of our incredible episodes with our incredible hockey community, from PHF athletes, ESPN personalities, fathers of NHL players, and a whole lot more. Come by, follow the show, give a like, give a subscribe, and it'd be great to have you here in Puckburg. But enough about me. Let's get back to what you're really here for, the Main Event Marks, because
they are the cream of the crop. Oh, yeah.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is, so they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.
Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube at youtube.com/C/Main Event Marks Podcast. Now, back to the show.
All right, we're back.
We're back.
It's WCW Halloween Havoc 1991 on October 27th, 1991. The tagline, an evening of terrifying destruction. Yeah.
Of the entire wrestling business.
Right. This took place at the UTC Arena in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So, you know, JR had to drop in some lines about the Tennessee Volunteers at some point.
The attendance, Peyton Manning, man.
Yeah, right.
And the attendance, that's it.
Yeah, that's literally it. The attendance was 8,900, and the buy rate was 0.8 for 120,000 buys. Were you ordering the WCW pay-per-views at this time?
Ew, my dad's friends were, so I watched it that way.
Did you actually see it live?
I did.
Ah, cool. I realized this was forever ago, but do you happen to remember any, like, in the moment feelings about this?
What year is this? 91. 7.
Yeah. I assume you probably don't remember anything.
Obviously, Sting's my guy. Right. I don't remember what I was thinking in the moment. I remember the cage, thinking it was cool as hell, like it was awesome. Keep in mind, I'm 7. I just thought it was like the coolest thing ever. And then, like, you know, I don't want to get ahead, but you know, the finish of it, think I was into it because it was the bad guy. So
I just want to go back in time to see a 7-year-old Greg sitting there watching a man get electrocuted. You're like, what the F?
I think if it was Sting, I might have broken down in tears, probably.
Right. Well, unfortunately, the show went against the 7th game of the World Series on TV.
This is 91. Who's in that? Is that the Blue Jays and Philly? No, okay. It was the Twins and Braves. Okay.
Ah, okay.
I think that was the next year I'm thinking of. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a better one.
So
that classic line.
Oh, you said Twins and Braves?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
Oh, well, wow, there's something to touch on there, the Braves.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the biggest football game of the year.
Now that I don't know. Wait. It's not the Super Bowl, so they're already lying.
Yeah, right. Undefeated Giants against the Redskins, who are coming off a bye week. How's that the biggest game of the year?
Well, don't forget. I mean, at one point, these teams were hot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
They're both on their way to either have or already beaten the Bills in the Super Bowl. This is the epic 4 Super Bowl loss run of the Bills.
Oh, both of man. Those teams
are involved. I think it was the Cowboys, the other one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know the difference between the Buffalo Bills and Cheerios, right? Cheerios belong in a bowl. Had to do it. But, yeah, anyway, so the buy rate was pretty much a write-off. Nobody expected anything for this.
I can't believe... Was Turner owning this at the time?
Yeah.
So I know now, I just heard like recently that Tony Khan can never run a show or event against the NFL at all because he's part owner.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to figure out if that doesn't work with baseball.
Or maybe it was different at the time. I don't know.
Or maybe the rules are just different for baseball.
But never know. Yeah, it's weird, though. But the show opens up with a cartoon going through a creepy yard to a haunted house and pictures of WCW wrestlers looking like ghosts flash on the screen. After opening up with Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone on commentary, they send it to Eric Bischoff standing outside the building. A car pulls up with Cactus Jack and Abdullah the Butcher getting out of it. Cactus shouts,
"I just casually, by the times. Way. Very casual, by the way. I like that.
That's yeah, right. Right.
We'll get out Mad Men.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Cactus gets out, starts shouting, "Bang, bang," over and over at Bischoff, and Abdullah looks like he wants to eat him. Bischoff then says that everyone's still wondering who the WCW Phantom is, and Diamond Dallas Page and the Diamond Stud pull in. DDP gets out and says, "I see they got you parking cars now, eh, Bischoff?" And then he walks off.
Back to fight him.
Yeah, right. Next, Barry Windham drives up, and this was random as hell. I don't know if he was legit injured or what the hell, but he drives up in a convertible. And Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko just run up, open the car door, and slam Barry's left arm into it. And then Dustin Rhodes runs up and chases him off, moves Barry into the passenger seat, and drives off, allegedly to the hospital or medical facility,
Medical facility.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so, man, Goldust drove the Stalker to the medical facility.
It was not a gold Cadillac, though.
Yeah, right. That was hella random, though. I was like, what the hell? Like, was he actually hurt? Because I think he was supposed to be on this card, and they pulled him.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. But the opening match, man. God
damn. You see, why would you start with anything else?
Yeah, right. Well, let's get this out of the way early.
Can we just talk about that real quick? Why did this open the show?
I assume because they didn't want to put the cage up mid-show and then tear it down.
So why don't they just put it up at the end?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They probably didn't want to take time off time out of the show to put the cage up. They probably just wanted it up to start the show and then... I don't know, because they had to tear it down, so they did have to take intermission.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you want this to be the last thing people saw?
Back then, yes. And now, with my brain now, no. But I just still am laughing that it opened the show. Because this was the most hyped thing on the entire show. That's my point.
Right. I mean, 6 1/2 dozen the other, because either it's the last thing or the first thing people are going to see. Neither one is good. But it's El Gigante, Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner, and Sting taking on Big Van Vader, the Diamond Stud, Cactus Jack, and Abdullah the Butcher in a Chamber of Horrors match that went about 12 and a half minutes. Okay, so Barry was supposed to be on this card. Vader subbed for Barry Windham, and Cactus Jack subbed for Oz. Man, could have been more epic with Oz.
And the little, what do they call him?
The Kim Wizard?
Sullivan? Yeah, the Wizard.
Yeah.
He would have been out there, too.
Yeah, welcome to Oz! Hey, they could have played Shock the Monkey. No?
We got Shock coming up, trust me.
Right. Maybe they pulled, maybe Windham wasn't injured, maybe he was turning babyface, so they pulled him. I don't know. But they tried jamming a lot of stars into this one, and that just made it even more embarrassing.
Considering the referee, all the stuff we're about to get on the rest of this card, yeah.
Right.
It clearly shows.
Yeah. The referee's
wearing that was one of my first notes, by the way. Why are there so many big stars in this match? That was my first note.
And El Gigante. I'm sorry. Wow. all right. Anyway, the referee's wearing a camera inside of a bike helmet, and they call it the referee.
Hell yes.
This
I just didn't like that it was covering that sweet mullet. That's what pissed me off the most. But, you know.
Yeah, I know. This was like the original GoPro, basically. It was weird. But everyone battles inside and outside the cage. About a minute into this one, the Chair of Torture, which was an electric chair, lowers into the center of the ring. Cactus Jack gets busted open. Vader loses his mask. You know, the usual. The switch that there, because there's a giant switch. You got to climb up and pull it down to set the electric chair off. Well, it falls like the switch falls down
multiple times.
And the camera sees this, by the way. Oh, God. And right in plain view, Cactus climbs the cage to push it back up. In the end, Rick Steiner belly-to-belly suplexes Abdullah the Butcher into the electric chair, straps him in, and Cactus, who apparently didn't think to look back for 2 seconds, thinks that Rick Steiner's still in the chair, so he flips the switch down, electrifying the bloody Abdullah the Butcher. Tony Schiavone comments that Abdullah is well done.
Yeah.
The electric chair stipulation had nothing to do with the advertised stipulations, which, granted, were so convoluted that the writers of Lost would have looked at them and say, maybe we should clarify some things.
I totally understood.
Yeah. Uncle Dave gave this -2 stars. I will admit, the match itself sucked, but the brawling was fine, so I gave it 1.5 stars. What say you?
I gave it 1 star. I was tempted to bump it to 2 because I was laughing.
Yeah.
It put me to sleep, but man, this thing sucked.
The match itself, like the actual wrestling, wasn't terrible. Well, but
it was non-existent.
Yeah. And then they lower that giant effing chair inside of a cage into the cage. And I'm like, what is going on? Real quick, to go over the story we were referencing on that Legends show, Dusty Rhodes said something about, I woke up in a cold sweat one night with an idea called Halloween Havoc. And he's going on about this electric chair, daddy, and somebody's going to get electrocuted. And like, why did you ever think this was going to be good? And then he's like, well, and then the switch kept falling down on camera, and the camera kept, like, focusing on it and everything, and I just hung my head in the back. I was like, oh, man. It's like,
my idea, daddy.
Even on paper, this looked like crap. Like, why?
Let me just see what the hell else we can do to Abdullah.
I wonder if Jim Herd was in the back like, ha! Ah, this is awesome. Gotta get another slice of pizza.
Of course, the ding dongs were in this.
Like, God dang it, next year we can do this with the Ding Dongs versus the Hunchbacks. That'd have been great.
Holy crap.
Get the goddamn Candyman in there. But after the match, Cactus Jack is... after the match, Cactus Jack is shaking Abdullah and squealing like a pig. Abdullah finally snaps awake and knocks Cactus on his ass. He then runs up the ramp, knocking over orderlies that were coming out to the ring with a stretcher. Tony says, well, he woke up and saw heaven and realized he didn't belong there.
Holy crap. Not wrong.
Tony Schiavone's the best part of this, man. Like, sometimes he's still the best part of the show. Like, so I don't know why everybody craps on him, man. He was great. Still is. Commentary eventually sends it backstage to Missy Hyatt, who's dressed like a Vegas dancer, and Eric Bischoff, who's now dressed like Dracula. They talk about who the WCW Phantom may be, and then they call in the Young Pistols for an interview. Tracy and Steve say that they're coming after the Patriots, United States tag team titles. They also drop a lot of redneck country lines before walking off.
I think they're both baby faces, by the way, so that's the part that got me.
I know. I'm like, they're cutting a heel promo. This is weird. They eventually would go on to be the Wild-Eyed Southern Boys and, you know, finally get their last names. This next match, man. I feel like I'm going to be saying that a lot on this card.
This is money. What are you talking about?
It's the Creatures taking on PN News and Big Josh.
Tell who Big Josh is, by the way.
It's the future Doink the Clown, but he's a lumberjack here.
Yes, he's an actual lumberjack. They're not having a lumberjack match.
Right. And this went for 5 minutes, 16 seconds. The Creatures, I don't know who the hell they are. They're just some guys in masks and tights. PN News was most certainly the whitest black rapper of all time.
Speaking of, no ice says hello.
Wow. Speaking of white, why is he teaming with Big Josh?
I don't know. I don't even remember this being a team until I watched this.
Right. And PN News is doing his little rap thing.
I feel like PN News is just a thing Dusty Rhodes loved. I don't know why.
Oh, hell yeah. For sure. They said, like...
The white guy with soul, daddy.
I think Tony Schiavone said it was mostly to bring in, like, because kids loved it. And, I mean, he got kind of a point. I mean, you look in the crowd and all those, like, white Southern hicks are, like, dancing while he's doing his stupid rap. There's a
clear demographic for WCW back in the day.
Right. But anyway, in the end, Big Josh hits the Northern Exposure, which is a running whoopee cushion, on one of the Creatures. PN News hits the Rap Master Splash, real name, and then Josh stands on News's back for the pin on the Creature. Uncle Dave gave it a star and a quarter. I gave it a star. This sucked ass. What say you?
Star. I think I remember when I was a kid, I was kind of into PN News because he would always start his song right before he did the splash.
Good
and
Lord.
The song would be playing while the three was being counted. I don't know why I liked that as a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sucked. And that, I got to tell you, man, that's a lot of man boob coming down on the Creature.
I think he still wrestles to this day.
Why? He couldn't wrestle back then.
All right, I retract that. I think he still tries to wrestle to this day.
There you go. What was the show? Was it Great American Bash that you and I reviewed? Though he was on the damn scaffolding.
Yeah, I had it because that's usually where the scaffold match was.
Yeah, everybody now in the archives go back. It was Great American Bash. It was like PN News and Bobby Eaton versus Terry Taylor and Stunning Steve, I believe.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Red Rooster on the same team.
Hell man. Yes, man.
Take my money. Take my everything.
Right. Speaking of two of those guys, up next is beautiful Bobby Eaton taking on Terrence Taylor with Alexandra York. This one went 16 minutes even.
Was this no, the tailor-made man was a different thing, right?
Yeah, that was after this. Well, because he was the computerized man here.
Right. So I think the tailor-made man came first.
Okay. Yeah. That
and
sounds about right.
They spelled it T-A-Y-L-O-R, the tailor-made man.
Well, of course.
First, I'm just thinking, is that like an homage to his parents? The tailors made him?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's all coming to me now. Sorry.
Wow. Well, the crowd's actually pretty hot for this one. This is like the second event I've seen Bobby Eaton do that where he lays them on the – they have that ramp that goes to the ring.
Let me just say on that, I love that.
I did too.
When AEW does it, I kind of geek a little bit.
Yeah, it's I always dug it. But he laid the guy on the ramp, then he dove outside the ring onto the guy on the ramp. The other event he did that at, I can't. You and I had reviewed it, but that was the show where Big Josh walked the Bears to the ring and they pissed all over the ramp. Yeah. So you could see the lines of piss that he dove into, and I'm like, oh gosh, poor Bobby.
It's a couple extra $100 right there.
Yeah, right. But after an awesome match, Bobby hits the Alabama Jam for the win. Uncle Dave gave it 3.5 stars. I gave it an even 3. What say you?
I gave it 3. Best match of the night.
For sure. Yeah, this one was really good. I like
keep
both
in mind,
these guys.
I think it's best match of the night by a landslide. Not to give away anything that's coming up.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, not saying the rest of the stuff sucks, but it's not great.
I'm not saying it doesn't suck. How about that?
Yeah, right. It could suck. It could be all right. You just have to wait and find out. You know what I'm saying?
Terry Taylor doesn't get enough credit, by the way. He was so damn good.
I know. He got a presentable match out of Nikita Koloff. That alone puts him in a different,
I think when people judge him based on the stupid Red Rooster crap, it's really unfair.
Yeah. Well, then there are the people that, there's plenty of the stories that circulated about apparently he was a giant a-hole.
And he leaked stuff to Uncle Dave, according to Bischoff.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, his Uncle Dave, freaking touched himself to Taylor sometimes. So, again,
you would think Taylor was Japanese or something.
What the hell? Well, this next match, man.
One more quick thing, by the way. Was this the era when Bobby Eaton was a singles wrestler? I didn't catch that part. Okay. So there was them in Express.
Yeah, Stan Lane and Jim Cornette hightailed it for.
That's right, and Bobby stayed because he was loyal. That's right.
Yeah, well, he said he needed the money because he had a family. Yeah, because he was like, guys, I need this job, and they're like, you get it.
I think I heard something about him at Armored, legit best friends too, and that helped. So that's what I meant by loyalty. But
yeah, that's that too. But up next, Jimmy Jam Garvin with Michael P.S. Hayes in his corner took on Johnny B. Badd with Theodore R. Long in his corner. This one
because if I'm going to get one of the Freebirds, I want Jimmy effing Jam.
Hell yeah.
A.K.A. Joey Janela.
Wow. Joey Janela's father, okay? You get that right. But
I laugh when people, by the way, don't see it. I mean, you don't look at Joey Janela and see that he's trying to be Jimmy Jam. You don't see it? He wears the damn glasses. His hair is the exact same way. He wears the same flashy tights.
He looks like Jimmy Jam had a son who tried to imitate him and also went on a drug bender. So, I don't know.
Went on one, assuming he stopped.
Right. Hey, I didn't say any of that. I just said he went on one. But this one went about, it went 8 minutes and 16 seconds. The Freebirds are clearly baby faces here. And this isn't, like, I had to check to see where they were, because they're in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And they come out in Atlanta Braves gear doing the tomahawk chop and getting cheered. Like, what?
I mean, I would assume maybe they're just the local team or the closest team.
That has to be. I don't know. It's, I don't know who cheers for who in Tennessee, but Michael Hayes had.
Apparently, if you're in Tennessee and you were a hardcore fan before, I'm going off of Jerry Lawler, it's Cleveland, so I don't know where Atlanta comes in. Well, wait, well, they are Atlanta, GA, you know, Bad Street, but.
Yeah, right. I don't know, man. But Michael Hayes had to appear here with his arm in a sling to get to basically get out of his match with Van Hammer because he would have been cheered. And WCW wants the Freebirds as baby faces here. Wait a minute. But now that I'm rereading that here, did they think that Van Hammer was going to get cheered over the Freebirds?
Over anybody?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
So the one guy I'm cheering for, man, it's Major Stash. Or Private Damn Stash. Straight.
Yeah, right.
Can't be private, though. It's a too low of a rank.
Right.
Morales, dude. Morales.
Hayes does get involved a few times. Jimmy Jam hits the DDT, but Long is distracting the ref. Garvin argues with the referee, gets turned around by Bad. And Bad knocks him out with a right hand for the pinfall win.
He's a bad man.
Oh, yeah. And he's just too damn pretty.
This was a bad match.
Uncle Dave gave it 2¾ of a star. Okay. I gave it 2 stars for below average.
I don't know what the hell you guys are watching. I thought this whole thing sucked. Holy sucked. I gave it 1.
I thought it was slightly below average. I didn't think it was like complete garbage, but not great. Definitely not pay-per-view quality. That's for damn sure.
And Saturday night, 6:05 in the Superstation, maybe.
Yeah, right. We now go backstage with Missy Hyatt saying that she's been unable to find the WCW Phantom. Bobby Eaton walks by carrying a pumpkin for reasons, and Missy stops him to ask where the Phantom is. She literally begs and says, and he says, I'm going to celebrate. I just want a match. And then he looks at the camera and goes, women, and walks off as Missy pouts.
I mean, I don't remember why, but when I was a kid, I knew who the Phantom was. I don't remember why. I think I might have seen a glimpse of him. Maybe he did the move and I saw it. I don't know.
They make it painfully obvious who it is at the pay-per-view, but yeah, I didn't see any of it before this, so I don't know. But up next is Stunning Steve Austin with Lady Blossom in his corner taking on Dustin Rhodes.
And is that his legit wife, by the way?
It was. Yeah, it was his first wife, I want to say. The one he had his kids with. You can actually see her. She's British. You can see her in one of his documentaries.
And then she come up with the name Stone Cold.
Yeah, that's the one. Dustin gets busted open at one point. Lady Blossom gets involved once, slapping Dustin repeatedly behind the referee's back. In the end, neither man can pin the other, and we go to a time limit draw. Uncle Dave gave this 3.5 stars. I gave it 2.5. I wasn't that big of a fan. What say you?
I gave it 2. Could have been way worse, though, I'll say.
Yeah. But with these two guys, I expected more. I don't know. It just felt like it was average.
Well, also with these two guys, I know what they're capable of because we've seen better. Granted, yeah, this is like one of the first times they wrestled, to be fair, but.
Yeah. But still, it's just like, weak.
It's weak sauce. Kids still say that?
Holy God. Maybe? I don't know. Anyway, up next, you want to talk about weak sauce, man. We got a commercial now for Starrcade 91 Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery.
I'm just going to say this right now.
Yeah.
I did not, when I was a kid, I kind of liked the idea. I thought it was clever.
It's clever.
I think even nowadays, I can see it being clever as long as it was like made sense.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to save everybody the time now and just let you know it sucks.
I guess there's something about the appeal of good guys and bad guys teaming is what got me. So.
Yeah. Well, and then freaking Russo repeats it in like '99, and that sucked.
He also tried it. He dabbled with it in 1985 with the Survivor Series. So there's that.
1985. Oh, was that the? Oh, yeah. Like they had that weird team at the end. Was that it?
Yeah, I think Bulldog was on Michaels' team. Razor was on the bad guy's team. So yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Nobody could get along, and it just like it was a mess, man. Yeah, I remember watching that, and I was just like, "What the hell is going on?"
I assume it was Russo, but I could be wrong on that. 95,
I don't think
though.
Yeah, I think he was still with the magazine at that point, so I don't think he officially joined the writing team until, like, late 96, early 97? I don't know. Somebody could correct me out there. I'm sure they will.
They will.
Right. Continuing on with it, you know, speaking of knowing what people are capable of, but not in a good way, up next is Oz versus Bill Kazmaier. This one went about 4 minutes. Oz, for anybody that doesn't know, is a young Kevin Nash. He comes to the ring without his cool entrance and looks like he'd rather be back bouncing in Vegas.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, you have to come out like this. I remember him saying something before. He was like, when I got told, like, I guess Dusty Rhodes pitched the gimmick to him. And he's like, yeah, you're going to be Oz, and you're going to be from the land of Oz, and whatever. He's going through the whole gimmick. And Kevin Nash was like, hey, isn't that name kind of weird? Because, like, Oz is like a geographical location, not a person. And Dusty's like, well, that's your name, kid. Like, walked off.
Don't ever correct Dusty.
Yeah, that's with somebody else, baby. We're going to leave you right where you at. And where you at, it's on the yellow brick road, daddy. Oh, man. But, yeah, Bill Kazmaier walks to the ring carrying a giant earth ball.
Wasn't he
shoulders.
The strongest man competitor or something like that?
Yeah, he was the – I don't know if he was – I think he was the world's strongest man at this point. So he carried, like, this giant earth on his shoulders walking to the ring.
Oh, is that why? I guess I didn't piece that together.
Yeah.
Okay.
These 4 minutes felt like 40 minutes, and that's never good.
That's what she said.
Wow.
That is good.
Kazmaier makes Oz submit to the torture rack, which even the commentary seemed confused about. Uncle Dave said, quote,
they didn't call it the torture rack if you caught that.
Well, they were like, well, it's almost like Luger's torture rack. Well,
they didn't call it that, though. They acknowledge that it's not.
Yeah, they're like,
his, you know, he does the other thing with his arms. Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know what I'm saying.
But Uncle Dave said, quote, it could have been much worse, but they didn't have enough time to put together the worst match in the history of WCW. So that's good. Holy God. He gave it negative. He gave it negative half a star. I gave it a star. Let's say you.
Oh, man. I debated giving this a zero, but I gave it one.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, good Lord. Worst thing on the show so far by far. And this.
Oh,
well,
there's so much. Well, okay, so far you said.
Yeah, I said so far.
Yeah, there's a couple of things coming up, man.
Yep.
We're talking 90 seconds or so.
Yep.
Sorry, not to spoil anything, but go ahead.
Well, this next match, it went a minute 13 seconds. It's Van Hammer taking on Pretty Boy Doug Summers. Pretty Boy,
yes,
Doug Summers, by the
Doug
way.
Yes, Summers.
Yes, he was on Super Clash 1, I believe. AWA Super Clash 1, now in the archives.
And he's still pretty, by the way. I just want to point that out. He's still pretty boy.
To me, he looked like somebody's grandfather that put on some trunks and decided to go in the ring. But he looked like he was going to pull a quarter out from behind your ear. But during Van Hammer's entrance, there's a guy on the stage jackhammering cinder blocks.
I think they meant for that for Big Josh, and they messed up. They didn't get the cue.
Yeah. Well, he's doing that while Van Hammer's playing electric guitar all the way down to the ring. Not plugged in, by the way, so nobody can hear it, but he's doing it.
Hey, I look cool when I'm doing that with my Guitar Hero guitar, so how's this any different? Screw you.
Wow. He should have came to the ring and been like, who wants to get infected tonight?
Can you imagine saying that 2021?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They might not fly. But this one is short and sucks. Van Hammer wins with a dangerous looking slingshot suplex into a pin, damn near dropping Summers on his frickin' head. Uncle Dave said, quote, Hammer only missed three out of the five moves he tried. He gave it -1 star. I gave it a dud. What say you?
I decided not to rate it because I don't think this was a match.
It sucked. Van Hammer sucked. It all sucked.
I'm not even going to acknowledge it as a match.
Yeah.
And spoiler, you may get that from me one more time. Maybe, wow. Maybe. Let's just stay tuned. Here we go.
All right. Well, backstage, Brian Pillman cuts a promo saying that the upcoming light heavyweight title match means everything to him, and he's dedicating the match to his family and all of the WCW fans that support him. We now switch to Alexandra York and Richard Morton. Alexandra puts over Morton, and Morton then says some stuff. I don't know.
It's like, hey, I know I'm not over without Robert, and I can't do this. God help me. Something like that. That was my interpretation of it. I mean,
I'm stuck with a hot chick with a computer. I don't know what's going on. Oh, man. But anyway, this next match is Flying Brian Pillman versus Richard Morton with Alexandra York in his corner. It is for the vacant WCW light heavyweight title. It went 12 minutes, 45 seconds. Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone completely bury the referee cam with Ross calling it the referee camera. And Schiavone says, referee, I think. And Ross says, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Oklahoma lost last night. I don't care.
Dude, even back in 91, Ross didn't give a damn.
So yeah, it's funny. He's not even on his way out yet either. So it's like he's got a whole other year and a couple of months.
Right. Yeah. He's not cared. Yeah, he didn't leave this company until the Cowboy got the boot.
I'm pretty sure he debuts at WrestleMania 9, which is 93.
Right.
So we're talking year and some change?
Yeah, so that's true.
Well, I mean, I'm only pointing out because I'm like, man, he's not even on his way out yet, and already he just doesn't give a damn. So it's not right. Like he's got somewhere to go right now.
Right. He's like, what the hell are they going to do? Fire me? They just gave me a raise.
All right, I'm already fired.
Wow. We got to get one of them in on every show. But this was decent, but not as good as I had hoped it would be. Brian wins with a flying crossbody off the top into a pin. Uncle Dave said, quote, huge disappointment, and Pillman was still injured. He gave it a star. I gave it 2.5. I thought it was at least average. What say you?
I gave it 2. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Which is weird, because Brian Pillman's amazing.
Yeah, Richard Morton was pretty Warren's, damn good.
Richard Morton's great when Robert's with him.
I mean, he can wrestle pretty well. I honestly expected more out of these two, but they looked like they were just having a match. Oh, speaking of having a match, up next, the Z-Man taking on the Halloween Havoc Phantom. It went for about 1.5 minutes.
Effing zinc.
Yep. Hey, who better to bury? The WCW Phantom is in a half and half black and white mask and a black bodysuit. We can see the mustache through the mask. When they get the camera too close, it's obvious that it's Rick Rude. He ends the match, by the way, by beating the Z-Man with a Rude Awakening.
Oh, I've seen that move before.
Yeah, in some places they would call that a Rude Awakening. Uncle Dave gave us.
Or even say that. Have you realized throughout the course of history, that's one of the only finishing moves that hasn't been bastardized? You realize that?
Yeah.
Like, how do people really do it?
Used as like a cutoff move, but yeah, I mean, everybody kind of does variations of a neck breaker. So.
I mean, like the DDT, the super kick, and the cutter, it's kind of all been overused, but I feel like no one does this one the way he did.
Yeah, it's not quite the same as Rude, right? Uncle Dave gave it a star, by the way. I gave it a dud, because just like, how can you rate this damn thing? What say you?
You can't, so that's why I didn't rate it.
Yeah, it sucks.
I was like, because I'm not going to rate it, because it's just a bona fide segment that happened to have a opening and closing bell.
They should have just stood there and compared abs.
Yeah, right. Well, we all know about that, but
yeah, right. Yeah, it wouldn't have been the WCW Sweat Hogs. But up next, speaking of Sweat Hogs, we get the enforcers of Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko defending the WCW World Tag Team titles against the U.S. Tag Champions, the Patriots, Firebreaker Chip, and Todd Champion.
These are real names, folks.
Yep. Firebreaker Chip dressed up like a fireman, and Todd Champion. And Todd Champion was, I guess, in the military. I don't know. He was like a U.S. like military looking guy.
I feel like Todd Champion is like Johnny Wrestling now. He's just right. Todd the Champion.
Right. Yeah, this went just shy of 10 minutes. As stupid as the gimmicks of the Patriots are, they've got great looks. They aren't terrible wrestlers. So, I don't know. In the end, Firebreaker Chip banks off of Zbyszko and staggers into an Arn Anderson spinebuster for the win for the enforcers. Uncle Dave said, quote, "Everyone tried, but Todd is incapable of being in the right place at the right time." He gave it a star and a quarter. I gave it 2.5 for average. What say you?
Gave it 2. Arn and Larry had their working boots on.
Yeah, right. Welcome to Larry Land.
That has not been introduced yet.
Yeah, right. I feel like both men just like afterwards had to go ice their backs after this one for carrying this damn thing. Like I said, Chip and Champion weren't horrible. They just weren't great.
See, when I first saw this or the lineup and like getting ready to watch it, I'm like, oh, the Patriots. They're going to face Buff Bagwell and the Patriot. And then I remember, no, that's Stars and Stripes. Who the hell are the Patriots?
Right. Oh, well,
I went
man.
Over my head, honestly.
Firebreaker Chip, man. I hope he got his cut of the merchandise that Todd, you know, he clearly sold.
Right. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, we're talking $2 or $3 for all that, for all those shirts sold.
Yeah, right. And that shirt went to his mom. Actually, no, she wouldn't wear it.
And he bought it, so he actually lost money on it, so whatever.
Yeah, he gave it as a Christmas present, and she's like, why the hell would I want this? It's garbage.
I put the pictures of you.
Yeah, right. I won't even put a picture of you on my mantle. Why do I want to wear you on my shirt? You're an embarrassment, Chip. Get out of my house.
Jeez, man, he's up.
I'm sorry, I went hardcore. Anyway, Eric Bischoff is on the ramp now to introduce Paulie Dangerously and Medusa. Dangerously says that WCW fired him as the co-host of WCW Saturday Night, so if he may have another volley, sir, he is going to bankrupt WCW and destroy everyone's heroes.
Did you notice how different his voice was here compared to now?
Yeah,
that's
it was
the
a lot
first
deeper.
Thing I caught.
Yeah, his voice was like pretty deep back in the day, and then it like. I mean, kind of the same with The Rock, too. If you go back and listen to the old Rock promos, like his
voice. Yeah, Austin, too. His voice wasn't as deep.
Yeah.
Austin went the opposite way, but.
Right, yeah. Paul E. now brings out the WCW Phantom, who unmasks as. No! It's Rick Rude! I never would have guessed! Making this only the second obvious Rick to be under a mask in WCW.
Oh, man.
Now in the archives. Was it Starcade 89 or 90 that we reviewed? I think it was 90. With the Black Scorpion? It was 90, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now back in the archives. Anyway, Rude says that all he cares about is himself, his women, and his money. Then he says he's going to go after Sting and will destroy him and take the United States title. So that's where it sets up for the Clash of Champions coming up. But we're going to take our second to last break. When we come back, we're going to hit the main event and then wrap this thing up right after this.
Follow the Main Event Marks on Twitter and Instagram at @MainEvent_Marks and on Facebook at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod.
Fanatics offers the world's largest collection of official sports apparel and gear from all the leagues, teams, and players that you love, including the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, NCAA, NASCAR, soccer, and golf. They even offer esports gear for the gamers among us. You can shop by brand, sport, team, or player. And if you sign up for Fan Cash, you get exclusive weekly deals. So head on over to Fanatics.com today. Fanatics is a sponsor of the Main Event Marks and Unhinged Sports Network.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is. So they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube at youtube.com/C/Main Event Marks Podcast. Now, back to the show.
All right, we are back.
And we're back.
We now get a highlight video of Ron Simmons walking around his old college in, of Florida State University, training with the equipment, jogging around, etc. His old coach talks about how great Ron is, and we hear Gary Michael Capetta announcing Simmons over the end of his video where he's running up the stairs of the arena. I didn't know this, by the way. I thought he had to quit playing because of injury. Apparently, he got kicked out of the program because he got caught stealing stereo equipment.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was new to me. I think he did have a knee injury, but I don't know. Anyway, the main event is Lex Luger with Harley Race and Mr. Hughes in his corner. He's defending the WCW World Heavyweight title against the All-American Ron Simmons with Dusty Rhodes in his corner. It's a 2 out of 3 falls match, by the way, which I was, like, not paying attention. So when the first fall happened, I was like, oh, well, that was quick.
Yeah, right.
And I'm looking, I'm like, what's going to happen with the rest of the show?
I thought it was over.
Yeah, right. I'm looking at the runtime. I'm like, is there another match after this? But this went about 19 minutes. The first
they
fall
really didn't advertise as hardcore as a 2 out of 3, did they?
No. Yeah, because that's not good where you and I both missed that. But the first fall doesn't last very long. Simmons hits a spine buster off the ropes for the pinfall. Between falls, Dusty Rhodes and Harley Race give pep talks to their guys. For the second fall, Ron Simmons backs into the ropes. Harley Race holds onto him for whatever reason, and then Luger runs at him, and he dumps him out over the top rope, leading to a disqualification to tie it all up. You know, because that was a DQ back in the day if you threw somebody over the top rope.
Yeah, because that was meant sense.
Right. The final fall comes when Luger pile drives Simmons for the pinfall win, clean as a whistle right in the middle of the ring. Uncle Dave is shocked because Dusty Rhodes managed to book an entire pay-per-view with no screw jobs. We both gave this 3.5 stars. I did think it was pretty decent. What say you?
I gave it 3. It was good.
I was
kind of shocked how, you know, it was better than I thought it was going to be, I'll say.
Right. And I did say, I'll say I upped the rating a little bit just because it was a clean-ass finish in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
I'm still
confused. It's like, I didn't know the matchup was going on. I mean, just 2 out of 3, but...
I know. Do you realize this was like the second time where like Luger is supposed to be a heel, but he wins clean as a whistle with a pile driver?
I didn't realize that.
Well, what was the other one that we just reviewed? It was where he won the belt to begin with. Flair was supposed to be there. Oh, it was Great American Bash 91. Yeah. Great American Bash 91. He was supposed to take on Flair in a cage. Barry Windham stepped in, and remember at the end of the match, he was supposed to turn heel, and his turning heel was just like running up and hitting Windham from behind, hitting a pile driver on him and winning. It's like, that a heel turn? All right, whatever. But that does it for the show. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the final ratings and tell you what's coming up on the podcast.
Follow the Main Event Marks on Twitter and Instagram at @MainEvent_Marks and on Facebook at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. We're brothers.
That's right.
Same mother and father.
Your room was...
We shared the room.
Shared a room.
We shared the room.
Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast. What's it called?
The
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah.
Well. What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also check us out on Twitter at The Brocast. That's BROKAST.
It's all right. Good on you.
Yeah. Instagram also at The Brocast Podcast.
Remember, we don't spell it with a C. We spell it with a K.
Sorry, mate.
Take it easy.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is. So they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.
The Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube at youtube.com/C/Main Event Marks Podcast. Now, back to the show.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Last segment of the show here. Final ratings time. Internet Movie Database gave this a 5.7 out of 10. CageMatch.net gave it 5.74 out of 10. I gave it a 6 out of 10 for an F. What say you?
Gave it a D+.
Really?
Yeah, it was like the worst piece of crap ever.
No, that was Great American Bash 91. Again, now in the archives, go check that out. Oh, man, the show kind of sucked, man. Well, not kind of. It sucked.
Holding sucked?
It did. This was rotten. I don't know. I honestly booked it just because I'd never seen the whole show. I knew it was bad, but I wanted to see it. And there was that freaking, that Chamber of Horrors match. So I was like, we got to talk about this crap, dude. We just have to. So, anyway, that does it for that show. Coming up next week is actually double main event week, meaning we got a show on Wednesday and a bonus episode on Friday. Oh, yeah. We have talked about it, and we have decided on the bonus episode for October. First, on Wednesday, October 20th, we are going back to 2006 to review TNA's Bound for Glory 2006 for its 15-year anniversary. I just went back and watched it, and I texted you. I was like, dude, I had no idea how good the show was. But watching it back...
I haven't watched it yet, but I will have done this week, so...
Oh, yeah. It was a big step up. A big step up from last year, like in 2005. I don't even really remember Bound for Glory 05, and that's not really a good sign. 2006 was a great show. Closes with Sting and Jarrett. We also get AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels versus LAX in a cage. Oh, shoot. I can't even remember half the stuff on the show. It was definitely good. Wait for that next week. And on Friday, we're actually going back and reviewing some territory shows, man. Now they got them up on The Cock. for the October bonus show on Friday, we're going to WCCW World Class Championship Wrestling.
Oh, and it is some class.
We're covering one show from October 25th, 1986. And because they're short, we're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to cover October 25th, 1986, which is Fritz Von Erich officiating Bruiser Brody versus Abdullah the Butcher in a cage for the main event in the Cotton Bowl. And the second show we are reviewing is from October 1st, 1988, where the main event is Jerry Lawler versus Kerry Von Erich to unify their world titles, the AWA and WCWA titles. We've reviewed one of their matches in the past from Super Clash 3, now in the archives. Go check that out. But this is what's interesting. I've never seen any old WCCW stuff, so I'm anxious to see this. I've already got the news compiled. There's a lot of interesting stuff to take you back to 86 and 88. So looking forward to that. Action-packed week next week, Greg. Looking forward to it. Thank you for joining me here. And thank you for joining me here today for this one. I don't know how to make it up for you other than next week looks good, I guess. So tune in for that.
We're getting back.
I hope you all got a laugh out of this week's episode at least. And we will see you all next week for Double Main Event Week, starting with TNA Bound for Glory 2006.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.